Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. It comes from the 21st chapter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he had said this to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We pray with me. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, in the early part of 1884, a renovation began on this relatively modest 8-bedroom farmhouse just outside of San Jose, California. A 44-year-old widow had purchased the home after moving to the area from New England, hoping to use it for her retirement. Now, having no family to spend her money on, this widow decided to make for herself an elegant estate, someplace she could live out her final days in peace and in beauty. And she hired 16 carpenters for the project. She paid them to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, building room after room after room onto the house. Now, there was no architect, nor was there a central plan for the construction. Instead, every day the widow would wake up and she would simply instruct the carpenters what she wanted them to work on next. And as the renovation continued, the house became more and more eccentric. One day the widow woke up and told the carpenters that she wanted them to build a staircase that led absolutely nowhere. The next day, she instructed them to install a door that opened into a 50-foot drop out the second story. After that, they were told to install trapdoors, secret passageways, and tunnels all throughout the property. What started out as a relatively simple 8-bedroom farmhouse soon morphed into a 161-room castle. The renovation took 38 years. During which time the widow added 6 kitchens, 13 bathrooms, 40 stairways, 47 fireplaces, 52 skylights, 467 doors, 10,000 windows, and a bell tower, all for one person to live in. Now, why would someone build such a large house? What's the purpose behind all of those rooms? Well, legend has it, the reason the widow built so many rooms onto her home was because she wanted to accommodate all of the ghost of her past. See, the widow's name was Sarah Winchester. She was the lone heir of the Winchester family fortune. It was a family that became obscenely wealthy after patenting rifles in the 19th century. Now, the same rifle that was used to slaughter thousands of people anytime there was conflict on American soil. The story goes, every evening at midnight, Sarah would climb the steps to that bell tower and she would ring a bell and she would summon all of the spirits of all of the men and women who had died at the hands of the very weapon that made her family rich. And she would ask those spirits for forgiveness. Every night she would climb the staircase. Every night she would ring the bell. Every night she would relive the past again. After all, that's the problem with the past. The problem with the past is it never stays the past. The ghosts of what happened yesterday, they always seem to find you again today. All of the hurt, all the mistakes, all of the sadness, it seemed to follow you no matter where you go. It doesn't matter how fast you run. It doesn't matter how many rooms you add on to your mansion. Sometimes you find yourself living that same story again and again and again. You're reminded of that story of failure. You're reminded of that story of regret, that story of heartbreak, the ghosts of the past that will never go away. Every evening, Sarah Winchester went to the bell tower, and every evening, the ghost would follow her there. I don't know him. That's what Peter said to the woman there in the campfire. I don't know the man, Peter said, of Jesus, as Jesus was about to be arrested. In that moment when this man, this Galilean, was about to stand trial for his life, Peter denied even knowing him, even though Peter had followed him for 3 years. I don't know him, Peter said. Can't help but wonder how many times Peter relived that same conversation in his mind. And I can't help but wonder how many times Peter heard the cock crow and instantly he was taken back to that place, that moment, that time when things fell apart for him. I don't know him, he said. And the ghost echoed again and again and again. See, Peter had been the rock. He had been the very foundation on which the church was to be built. But in that moment when Jesus needed him the most, in that moment, Peter wasn't there. Peter abandoned Jesus. I'm reminded of the 1942 novel, The Robe, where Lloyd Douglas tells the story of the last week of Jesus' life. In the story, on Good Friday, Peter is having a conversation with the centurion who executed Jesus. They were reflecting on their mistakes of the past week. Now, in the novel, the centurion turns to Peter and says to Peter, "I crucified him. I crucified him." To which Peter responded, "Yes, but I betrayed him." Makes you wonder how much pain we cause ourselves in life simply because we try to live yesterday as if it were today. Now, how much heartache do we suffer in this life because we keep looking back at those old stories of how life used to be. We keep ringing that bell and summoning those spirits and going back to that time again and again and again, hoping for a different outcome. You tell yourself you're just trying to learn from your mistakes. You tell yourself you're just reflecting on the past, but are you reflecting on it? Or are you trying to relive it? Are you trying to undo something that simply can't be undone? Every night, Sarah Winchester would climb to the top of the bell tower. Every night, she would ring the bell and summon the ghost of her past. Peter made a mistake. He messed up. Now, that was something he could not change. That would always be part of his story. That would always be part of his legacy. Maybe that's what makes Peter's encounter with Jesus in our second scripture passage this morning so powerful. This conversation Peter and Jesus have on the beach up in the Galilee after the resurrection. This was the first real conversation Peter had had with Jesus after he was raised from the dead. The first time they had to clear the air after Peter denied him. And in this moment, you would expect Jesus to say to Peter, Peter, why weren't you there last Friday? Peter, why did you deny me? Peter, why did you betray me after everything I had done for you? Peter doesn't say any of those things. Jesus doesn't say any of those things. Instead, Jesus simply turns to him and says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You see, on that beach, in that moment, Jesus recommissions Peter. He gives him a new story to live by. He tells him a new story about why he matters, why his life has significance. And in giving him that new story, he frees him from all the stories of his past, the stories of regret, the stories of pain, the stories of mistakes he had made. And he points them towards a future with hope. You see, because of Easter, we don't have to live in that room any longer. Because of Easter, we don't have to be locked away in a castle of regret. Because of Easter, you don't have to live with the pains of your past. Instead, because of Easter, you can live the new story God is giving you. You see, today is a new day. Today, God says, is a day, any day, unlike any day you have ever experienced before. Today is the gift God is giving you. It is a new beginning. And God says, this gift of today, it is a gift filled with hope, so you don't have to live in despair anymore. Today is a day filled with grace, so you don't have to live with sin anymore. Today is a day filled with new beginnings, so you don't ever have to look back again. God says, because of Easter, things can be different. You can be different. Life can be different. Don't believe me? Don't think it's true? Well, just ask someone who has experienced a resurrection for themselves. And let them tell you what a difference Jesus can make.
Life endures. My chains are the earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been saved. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
For freedom, Jesus says, I have come to set you free, free from the old story, free from the old pain, free from the past. So don't look back. Instead, lean forward into the new story God has in store for you. And listen to the voice that says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? After our service is over, if you have an old story you've been living with for too long and you want someone to pray with you, we'll remain at the front, and we would love to pray over you and pray with you. But now will you receive this benediction and blessing? Go forth now, surrounded by the love of God that makes all things new, and the hope of Easter that says you are redeemed and you are set free. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Grace and peace.